So I've been given a couple of scriptures to read out. The first is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, Jesus, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The next reading is from Mark chapter 1, verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brothers, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. And the last reading is from Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. That was great. Thank you. Wow. Who wanted the worship to stop? I didn't. I wanted to, stay in this side of the room forever. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you. Good morning at home. We're glad you're here today. We are glad you are connecting with us. It is a wonderful day. My name is Emmanuel. If you're connecting for the first time, you're visiting, and I'm one of the pastors here, a wonderful team, and a wonderful church family. Remember, last time I spoke was a few weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, baptism service, and I started. No, I didn't start, but, it was a start, really. So, because I only get to speak for 15 minutes. Can you imagine? 15 minutes they gave me. okay. But I spoke on metamorphosis, and I want to carry on that subject of metamorphosis for the next few weeks, a few Sundays that I am going to be preaching. Remember, at the beginning of this year, I said something that, I believe, as far as I am concerned, that God is calling me in this season, and calling us in this season to carry a mantle of the gospel. We shall carry the gospel, preach the gospel, and reveal the gospel of Christ. Amen. Remember that? So we're going to be in that, you know, in that subject of the gospel. So the title of my message this morning is Metamorphosis. The gospel of Christ, an instrumental power for change and transformation. From fishermen to fishers of men. Amen? So, we were talking about transformation, metamorphosis. And I was saying last time that I started developing a passion for gardening. Remember that? Developing a passion for gardening. So I got myself vegetable beds with nice vegetables. By the way, you should try my lettuce. They're outside. They're outside. I'm competing with Mark. Don't tell him that. So, but one of the beds, it's got just cabbage. I forgot the name for that. There's a name for a different type of cabbages and brassica. Yeah, okay. So you've got cabbage, you've got cauliflower, you've got broccoli, you know, all those things. But these are the things that caterpillar loves. I didn't know that. So I've shown you, you know, what happened then. Can I have slides 1 and 2? So that was what I shown you, and everybody laughed. And Mark carried on for weeks, you know. So what happened here was that my vegetables, they were at the mercy of caterpillars. Number two as well. So, but I did say that I am going to fight back. And I'm fighting back. Let's show 3 to 7. So 3 to 7 is something like that. Recently, come, keep going, 3 to 7. So, this as well, 3 to 7, carry on. Oh, wow. I said I'm going to fight back. So, that's it. Thank you. Now, the term metamorphosis originates from the Greek metamorpho, which means to transform, change form, or undergo a complete change in nature. Follow me. This kind of transformation is what the gospel encourages us to accept, to embrace. When we say yes to Jesus, a new path is revealed to us. A new path is put before us, and we have to embrace it. The New Testament uses this word to describe the work that God performed in the believer's life, in believers' life. Romans 12 invites us to follow God's process for our lives and destiny. Touch somebody, say, follow his process. Tell him or tell her, follow his process. So we must follow God's process for our lives and destiny. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18 also offers powerful imagery of our communion with God. We are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. When we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we metamorphose into the likeness of Jesus, into the likeness of Christ. The gospel is not merely information to be believed. It is the power of God that transformed life. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation, so change, deliverance, transformation, provision, total deliverance to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. The gospel brings remarkable change and transformation in our lives. If we let God's process carry on or complete its course, if we let the Holy Spirit, if we collaborate with the Holy Spirit and let him do his work, he will change completely our lives. Now, this change and transformation is called metamorphosis. Now, this is the process that is not just to patch away something that isn't looking good. This is not a process that is kind of take away something that is not working and bring something new. You know, when your car breaks down, you go to the mechanic and, if it is brake pads that is kind of used or wear down, they would bring a new part and patch it up, fix it, and you carry on with the same car. This is not metamorphosis. God doesn't do that with us. We undergo a total different process. Now, if we let God complete his work in us, the first thing he will do is to change our identity. He will change your identity. There are quite a few things that he will do. He will change your identity. He will change your character. He will transform your, he will give you a new purpose. He will change, complete transformation. Now, let's look at identity, because of the time, and you know, we take this as serious. We're going to come back. But let's wait on identity. Now, a question for you. Do you feel drawn to, you know, to things you were not used to before becoming Christian. So things you weren't used to, such as doing more good, seeking righteousness, seeking, wanting to do what is right, wanting to do what is good, or feeling that remorse for some of the negative actions or things that you've committed. Do you feel that? Since you became Christian, something is being transformed in your life. Something is at work. Some bad habits is being removed. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work. Let him surrender. He is giving you a new identity. The thing that you enjoy watching, then you feel the conversation that you love being part of, and all of a sudden you are within those conversations, and something in your mind, in your heart, is kind of pushing you away. That's the moment to stop. Do not resist. Surrender. God is giving you a new identity. The dictionary defines identity as the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Another definition is the qualities, beliefs, personality, and name that make a person or people group who they are. Do you catch that? Did you get that? Now, when we're talking about identity, these things come into place. Your name, the qualities that defined you, you know, all those things comes into place. Now, the question we must ask here is this. Where do those things come from? Those qualities. We weren't Christian then. So to be able to say, my identity, this is who I am, where are those quality attributes comes from? Where do they come from? Now, there is no doubt that these are the results and influences of the family you were born into. The family you are born into defined your identity. The culture we evolve from defines our identity. The political and spiritual forces that control the geographical environment in which we evolve. All those things define our identity. Before we came to Jesus, we were the reflection and products of our close entourage and society. That's who we were. We were the reflection and the products of the world. We carried the corrupted nature from the fall. Do you agree with me? Metamorphosis. Say to somebody, we must complete the process. You must let him complete the process in you. Hallelujah. We were the reflection of the products of, or we carried the corrupted nature of the fall. This is why Romans 12:1-4 says that do not conform to the world. Do not conform to the world. Do not conform to the world. but be transformed. Be metamorphosed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 warns us not to conform with the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now, Romans' reference to the world here is not cosmos, it's not universe, right? No. Romans 12 reference to the world here is the present age, the system and moralities, the practice, the way, the culture of this world. Do not conform to those. Do not conform to that. Because now you are being transformed into a different, completely different identity, something new. Hallelujah. Let me give you a beautiful illustration. This is a nice mirror. I love this mirror. Maybe I'll go home with that. No, I'm joking. So this is a mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Now, this is the practical aspect of metamorphosis. Practical aspect of this verse. Now, when you sit in front of your mirror, what do you see? When I sit here, I can see myself. I can see myself. But what Paul is telling us here is that, no, when you sit in front of your mirror, you're not looking at yourself. You're not seeing yourself. You're not seeing your natural or physical self. He said, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. When you gaze at the mirror, when you gaze at that, you're not seeing the reflection of yourself. No. Roman is saying to us that when you sit down, okay, and like you've got a mirror here, but the mirror is a representation or the reflection now of the Lord, of the glory of God. Now, when you sit here, you don't see yourself, you see the glory of the Lord, and you are here, but you want to metamorphose into what you are seeing. You want to be transformed into the image that is coming from here. Now, this is a very limited representation here. Now, the right revelation about the gazing of the mirror and being transformed into the glory and the image of God is, in fact, the mirror itself is a veil. The mirror itself is a veil. God is not calling us into a fellowship where there's a mirror. He's not calling us into a fellowship, into a representation where there's anything. He wants us to come, and when we sit with God, we are being, there's nothing. Jesus said, the Bible says that, you know, and this is the power of the gospel. The Bible says that the moment Jesus was crucified at the cross, what happened? The veil in the temple was torn completely. So now for us, there is no veil no more. We come into the presence. The glory of the Lord is kind of, Oh my goodness. Who am I preaching to? Are you capturing here? Are you getting something here? Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you sit in your secret place, when you tarry in the presence of God, this is what is happening. There is an exchange of nature, exchange of character, of change of purpose, of exchange of values, exchange of things that, you know, kind of move your hearts. Now, the glory of God is here. God himself is here. Now, which nature will prevail? Which nature will prevail? The world nature? Our human physical nature? God nature prevails. Amen. And we are being transformed. Tarry in the presence of the Lord. Tarry. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. We cannot do it by ourselves. You cannot do it by yourself. But tarry. As you tarry, you are becoming the reflection of what is in the mirror, which is not you. So when I look at the mirror, I don't see myself. I see him. When I look at the mirror, I see Jesus. When you look at the mirror, Jesus is the one that you see. And as you stay and you tarry, now his character, his attribute, his nature, his identity, his purposes are being transferred to you. Hallelujah. Now, that's not for me. It's for Jesus. But I think Jesus deserved better. Now the same thing is true for priority. The same thing is true for relationship, purpose, identity. We are being transformed, metamorphosis. That is why Jesus was passing by and find two brothers. He called them. They were fishermen. Paul and his brother. Paul with his nature, fiery nature, sinful nature, impulsive nature. Peter, thank you, Peter. Jesus called them. He said, come, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now notice the metamorphosis. Notice the change. Notice the change. He was a frustrated man, exhausted, discouraged, an ordinary man. He toiled all night. He couldn't get anything. He was frustrated. You know, he has limitation. He was exhausted. He was discouraged. He said, you know, we've done this all night. I don't think we could catch anything now. But if you say so, all right. Kusura, we're going to try. Somebody who has zero faith. But Jesus turned his life and the life of the other disciples. He gave him a new identity. Yeah, that's the time for me to stop. Thank you, Praveen. Yes. The turning point for Peter, because you say so. Because he say so. There must be a turning point in your life. And this morning can be a turning point. Are you battling the process of metamorphosis? Can we see the, can I have the slide, the cycle of metamorphosis? That one. You see, there are different stages for metamorphosis complete, to complete the cycle. So, where are you right now as we land here in the process of metamorphosis? In that journey, where are you? Where are you fighting? Where are you resisting? You know, we are, all of us, we are at different levels. I'm talking about where you are, your personal level. You need and you must know, this is where I am. Lord, help me abide in you. Help me surrender to you so that this next phase is completed. Hallelujah. So where are you? Where are you? Are you at a place where God is calling you to do something, or to be something, or to leave something, or to embrace something new that will help you transform, change, complete nature? We are transformed into a new identity. We are now children, sons and daughters. This is our new identity. Accepted in Christ. We carry the gene, we carry the nature, and we carry the attributes of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's take a few moments as we reflect on the process in our personal journey with God. Now I want you to close your eyes and focus or concentrate on yourself right now and take a few moments and ask the Lord, help me abide in you for the completion of this phase of that transformation. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Father, we thank you for the process of metamorphosis. As we transform individually and as a church, we ask Holy Spirit come. Even at home, we ask Holy Spirit come. Help us, give us the strength to surrender. Give us the power and ability to surrender. Give us the patience to surrender, to wait, to tarry in your presence. Holy Spirit, help us to collaborate with you. We want to see your glory. We want to reflect your glory. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. In Jesus' name. Amen.